Our text on this Christmas Day morning is recorded in John's first epistle in the first chapter, verses 9, 10, and 14 of chapter 4, where we read, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." So far the text. Name of the Bethlehem Christ Child, dear friends, familiar custom that we have at Christmas time is gift giving. The meaning of the custom, how it developed, and why it continues to be observed year after year is not hard to comprehend. It's a way by which we are able to communicate to others in a tangible way that we care about them. What gives value to the presence that we receive at Christmas time isn't their monetary cost, is it? They may not even be worth much in terms of dollars, but because we view them as an expression of the love that the giver has for the recipient. Even little children, though they be unable to articulate it, understand the value of the presents that they unwrap and open up at Christmas is because they're given by parents and others who love them. Another reason for the Christmas gift-giving tradition, in fact, the main reason for us as Christians, it's a way that we're able to express our gratitude to our God who in his love presented us with the best Christmas gift ever. Our text from 1 John speaks about this to us in a very glorious way, and we want to consider it briefly this morning under the theme, how can we remember the meaning of Christmas? So how can we remember the meaning of Christmas? Well, one way is by asking the Lord to help keep etched on our memories and hearts the precious gospel truths that lay behind our Christmas traditions. We don't have time today to talk about all these traditions, of which there are many, but there's one in particular I'd like to have us focus on today, and that is the decking of our homes and church with a Christmas tree. I read somewhere that Martin Luther was among the first to use the Christmas tree as a home decoration. As the story goes, while Luther was out on a walk one night during the Christmas season, he happened to notice some evergreens shimmering beautifully in the moonlight, and so he decided to cut one down, bring it back to his house, decorate it with shining candles. And after putting it up in his house, he called his children into the room and said, "I put this tree up inside our home, children, to remind us all of the brightness of Christmas and its message of our Savior's birth. Our world would be in deep darkness, eternal darkness, were it not for our loving God who gave his Son at Christmas to be our light and the light of the whole world." So that's one thing we can do to remember the true meaning of Christmas. When you look at your tree, think about sweet Bible verses like the one in our text, verse 9, that says, "In this, God's love was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into our world that we might live through him." And there's more. We can learn from the custom of decking the halls with a Christmas tree. It can serve to remind us of course, why Jesus had to come here in the first place, and that it was by a tree whose fruit was forbidden that Satan introduced death to our world when Adam and Eve were tricked into listening to his tempting voice. But then it was by another tree, the wooden cross of Calvary, that Christ Jesus overcame the evil one and sin, death, and hell for every one of us. And the word that John uses in our text to convey this heavenly truth is a truly meaningful and special one. It's in verse 10 where we read, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." The Greek word that's translated propitiation refers to the cover on the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies of the temple, where the blood of a sacrificial animal was sprinkled once a year on the Day of Atonement, a sacred rite that signified that there would be the blood of a very special victim which would be offered someday, by which God's anger over sin would be appeased and our guilt expiated, that is, atoned for. So every Christmas tree you see at this season of the year in storefronts, front windows of homes, in your own home, here at church, can and should serve as a blessed reminder of the blood that the baby Jesus later shed on the tree of the cross to expiate our sin before our God, that nails and spear would pierce him through and the cross be borne for me and you. A couple other things a Christmas tree can remind us of. The point at the top where you put the star or the angel, whatever your family tradition is, which is aimed upward, can be a reminder to us that he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. He, our great God, is the one, amazingly, who found his shelter in a stable and whose cradle was a stall. The one who was of the Father's love begotten ere the worlds began to be, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the source, the ending of the things that are and have been in future years shall see. With the poor and the mean and lowly, you and me lived on earth, our Savior, holy. And what can the twinkling light strings of the tree remind us? Well, like Luther taught his children, that Jesus is the true light who gives light to everyone who comes into the world. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as who did receive him, to them he gave the right, the privilege, to become God's own children to those who trust in his Savior name. And the assortment of decorations, the chrismon ornaments, the draped tinsel, all the colorful ornaments of varying shapes and sizes, can remind us of the beauty of the crown of everlasting life that the Christ child obtained for us, which has become yours through faith. Oh, and one other thing, Christmas tree can remind us of, just as a tree that has been cut from its nourishment source, its roots, it's going to die and its needles turn brown and brittle. And a side might be, I remember when I was a child at home and it was like getting close to Easter time, and I was instructed by probably my mom to do some vacuuming in the living room, and I was vacuuming in the corner. There's some needles in the corner from Christmas. all brown and brittle. That's what happens to trees, needles, when they're chopped down, those trees are cut down. So we would lose our Christian sturdiness and durability if we were to become disconnected from Christ. He is the one who enables us to retain our resilience, our greenness, attractiveness to God, who blesses us through His holy word with ability to retain the true Christmas spirit, genuine Christmas joy, also in trials and troubles that we experience. Jesus, and He alone, He's the one, who enables us to flourish in every condition of life, to maintain our Christian contentment, and to keep on decking the halls of our hearts with the lovely foliage so attractive to God of kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, and other fruits of the Spirit for the praise of His name. So may God bless us this Christmastide and into the new year. May He enable us to remember and rejoice in the heartwarming, soul-cheering message and meaning of the festival of our Lord's birth. Amen. And the grace and peace of the Bethlehem Christ Child abide with us all. Amen.